يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات.
To Allah, the most significant, the most merciful, and I bear witness there is no one has right to be worshipped but Allah, and I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the last final messenger of Allah. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Thumma amma ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back again to our series alhamdulillah for young men and young women every Friday. And today it will be a special event for Hijrah, for the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we would love to learn the role of youth, young men and women for the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have a very unique way to make it done. When we look at the time of the Hijrah, everybody helped Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as they can, but we will figure out that Shabab, youth, young men and young women, they did a great job to complete the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in general, Islam really pay attention for youth. And we have a lot of verses in the Quran talking about youth, especially the young men in Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named the whole chapter by their action. They stayed in the Kahf, in the cave, for more than 300 years. And Allah described them, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. They are a young, strong men. Fitya, which is, you know, the powerful men. آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ, they believed in their Lord, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased them in his guidance. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. And Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a lot of ahadith taking care of young men and women. When you have a command from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, it's include men and women, include male and female. This is just to clarify in the beginning. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a specific advices for young men and young women, when he advised Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, it's very famous hadith, when he told him, you know, احفظ الله يحفظك, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك, be mindful of Allah and you will find Allah in front of you to help you out, to guide you, to support you. And it was for a young man, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Also Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, gave him a very special advice, you know, when he was young also. And when he told Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar, kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw aabiru sabil. Be in this life, in temporary life, as a stranger. A stranger, the person who will stay for a while in different place than his homeland. And he must leave after that. أو عابر سبيل, to be a traveler. You know, just when you stay for a few hours, you must leave to finish your trip. This is why and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a very unique advice to young men and women of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, when we look at the Hijrah, that النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم choose some examples from young men and women to help him out. Even, you know, he is a prophet, he is a messenger of Allah. And it was much easier, you know, for everybody that Allah will take Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم from Mecca and just arrive him into Medina without all these difficulties that he faced. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Like what happened in Isra wal-Mi'raj, in journey night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him by the Buraq, Buraq which is a special transportation. And within few minutes, he arrived into Palestine. And the same thing, he was elevated into heavens. And he came back again in the same night. Even the narration mentioned that his bed is still warm, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. Why Allah did not make the same way for hijrah, for migration, for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Even a lot of people, they were prepare themselves to kill him, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, they decided to have a 40 strong young men from all the tribes of Quraysh to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, to spread his blood in between the tribes, and no one of his family will have right to take revenge or to kill somebody who killed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was very bad plan from disbelievers in that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina by the Buraq or with Allah's help. No, Allah told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to have a technique for your migration to teach your followers after that until the day of judgment. This is what we need to learn from Al-Hijrah. This is why we have a special topic today for دور الشباب في هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The role of young men and women toward the migration of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And just when we look at few examples, just we cannot cover all the examples that they helped Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in his hijrah, but we will take for example, few of them to really learn from them. The first example, we have Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. He is the first child accepted Islam. Can you imagine, you're talking about a child now, and he made his decision and he accepted Islam even before any one of his family. You know, he decides to go to Islam and to convert to Islam even before anyone. You know, his dad, he passed away, Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah SAW, he passed away as a non-believer. But Sayyiduna Ali, his son of Abu Talib, you know, he accepted Islam when he was a child. And they count him, he is the first child accepted Islam. In the time of Hijrah, his age was around 20 years old. Who's still 20 now? Subhanallah, 20 years old. And look how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam trusted him so much and relied on him to take, you know, the responsibility to sleep in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to cover himself with the same blanket of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine? When somebody told you, you're gonna do something, but you might die when you accomplish the mission that we asked from you. And this is exactly what happened to Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib. You know, he knows that the people of Quraysh, they have very bad plan to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he didn't care. You know, he said, if I get killed, I will defend Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the point. And even the people might kill him And they didn't know who is this person, because they thought that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam still in his bed, sleeping in his bed. And they might kill him before uncovering his face. Or otherwise, when they figure out that this is not Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is Ali ibn Abi Talib, they will be very mad. How come that you defended Muhammad and you stay in his bed, and they might kill him out of anger? It could happen. And he didn't care. Radiallahu anhu arda. Karram Allahu wajha. Karram Allahu wajha means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored his face, because he never bow toward the statues around the Kaaba. When he was young, he accepted Islam and he learned the Islam, and he never bow and he never prostrate himself toward any idols or any statues around the Kaaba. This is why when we mention Sayyiduna Ali's name, we said Karram Allahu wajha. May Allah honor his face, because he never put his face down toward the idols or the statues around the Kaaba. You know, and this is the first purpose that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Sayyiduna Ali to take his place, to take his position, you know, to confuse the people of Quraysh, the people of Mecca. And the second mission that Sayyiduna Ali was assigned for, to return back what? Al-amanat, the trusts that the people of Quraysh used to give to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is no one as honest as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, it's very confusing, it's a very complicated situation. How come that they agreed to kill him and they do not trust anyone in Mecca as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could say, you know, they had planned to kill me. I will take their money with me. It will be as a, you know, a good help for my trip. But he did not make this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he taught us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah commanded you to return back the trusts to their owners, to its own people. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. When you have a chance to judge between people, you have to judge with the justice. It doesn't matter if you judge between two Muslims or one Muslim and non-Muslims. It doesn't matter, because you are judging between them by Allah's word, and you have to be just, and you have to deal with the justice. And this is the two missions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assigned Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he was around 20 years old. Look at yourself today and look at your age and see how you will help Islam out with your power and your offer. And this is what we need to learn from دور الإسلام في هجرة النبي, دور الشباب في هجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the second example that we have, سيدنا عبد الله بن أبي بكر, you know, the son of the best companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the entire family was helping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his migration. You know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr by himself, Abu Bakr by his money, his wealth, Sayyidina Abu Bakr by his children, you know, As-Sayyida Asma, and As-Sayyida Aisha, and As-Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr, or even his servant, Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra. You know, he was a slave, and the people of Quraysh used to punish him and to make difficult for him. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he bought him and set him free, and he chose to serve him. He said, I'm free man now, but I choose to spend the rest of my life serving you, O Abu Bakr. And he used to take care of his sheep and his camels. He used to to be a shepherd for the sheep and the camels of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And he used every thing to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his migration, in his mission. When we look at his son, Abdullah. Abdullah, he was around the same age, you know, and he used to work as investigator, to listen carefully for what the people of Quraysh talking during the day, what the plan that they will have against Muhammad and his followers. And he used to go every day in the end of the day to tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam exactly what happened in Mecca, what the new plan that they have, and every single time. And this is how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, took care of every single aspect of the hijrah. He did not say, you know, we are believers and Allah for sure will help us out. Like a lot of us, we do that. Say, alhamdulillah, we're praying. We fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did not do anything wrong. Why Allah will not help us out? And we have to learn why Allah, you know, told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take care of every single aspect of the hijrah from A to Z. And he prepared every single step by himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even he hired somebody to do it for him, but he was the main main controller for the hijrah from A to Z. And he is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to learn. We need to take care of every single stage in our life. When we have a mission, when we have any goal in our life, we have really to start from A to Z, to have a unique plan to make it happen, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr as-Siddiq, he used to, you cannot imagine about the weather in Saudi Arabia. You cannot imagine about the distance that they have to walk every single day. You cannot imagine about the cave. The cave was in very high. We went one time with the youth in 2019 and we tried to climb up. Nobody was able to make it. Can you imagine? And all of them, mashallah, it's very, very healthy and very strong. And we went until the place, but we weren't able to go up into the cave that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stay in it. And this is the point. But we went to the cave of when Rasulullah received the first revelation, not the other cave when he was hiding himself from people of Quraysh, because it was down there in the south. But we went to the other cave, which is the cave of the light, you know, Kahf al-Nur, which is the first verses came down to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that cave. No one of us was able to go up, because some people make it maybe for within 2 hours just to go up from the bottom of the mountain, and to go up it takes maybe hour and a half and 2 hours to reach up over there. Can you imagine about you know the difficulties that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in that time, and all the companions, they helped him out to make a hijrah, or to make the migration, you know, successful. And this is, you know, the example that we need to learn today. Like I mentioned, Sayyiduna Amir ibn Fuhayra, he was a servant of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. What he used to do, when Sayyidina Abdullah used to go from Mecca to the cave every day, and he used to take the sheep and the camels and to destroy the footsteps of Sayyidina Abdullah or Sayyida Asma. Sayyida Asma, the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, she used to take the food every single day and go to her dad and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them, you know, the supplies, to give them the food and the water. And Sayyiduna Amir ibn Fuhayra used to walk with the sheep and the camels to destroy the footsteps of them. Because if the people of Quraysh figure out there is some people walking in this direction, they will follow the footsteps of them and they will reach out to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was hiding for 3 days. You know, he did not, his plan to go up north to Medina. When you look at the map, Mecca will be near to the Red Sea. And when you go up to Medina, you have to go up north. But Prophet Muhammad, he knows that the people of Quraysh will follow him and will catch him, will kill him. And he went down to north, to south. And he stayed in the cave for 3 days. And the 3 days, it was difficult. But this is, you know, out of his unique technique, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the people, everybody was searching up north because they figure out he's moving to Medina, and Medina up there. And everybody was searching in the area going to Medina. And he was hiding in the cave for 3 days down there to south. And Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha wa ardaha, this is for the sister. You will be amazed when you figure out she used to go every single day, prepare the food and the water for her dad, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was pregnant in the 9 month. Subhanallah. How come? I mentioned when we went to Umrah, we weren't able to even to climb, you know, to the cave over there. And she used to walk all the time from Mecca to the cave and come back again. And she was pregnant in the last few months of her pregnancy. You know, because her son, who's her son? Abdullah. Yes, Abdullah ibn Zubair, mashallah. He is the first child was born after migration in Medina. Yeah, this is the first, you know, the first child accepted Islam, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this is, it will be, you know, as engraved, you know, for the history of Islam until the Day of Judgment, the first. And you might have the first one who did something unique. You know, just when you hear about anyone needs help, jump to be the first one who helped out. When you need that, any masajid or any organizations needs help, just jump to help them out. You will be the first one. And the first one has, you know, a unique reward, because anyone will come after you, you will share all the reward that they will do after you. You will take the same reward for all of them. And this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be able to intercede for everybody in the Day of Judgment. Why? What? Why not Sayyidina Adam? Why not Sayyidina Ibrahim? Why not Sayyidina Noah? Peace be upon him. Why not Prophet Jesus? Why not Prophet Musa? Why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only? He will have maqam al-mahmud, the honored situation in the Day of Judgment. Why? Because his followers, you know, the most big number in the Day of Judgment. When somebody accept Islam, when somebody convert to Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take the reward of that person who converted to Islam after 200 years from today, or 1,000 years. Allah knows when Allah will give permission for the last hour to start, or for the Day of Judgment to start. Since the time of Rasulullah till today, almost 1,400. So correct? how many people they accepted Islam, how many people they prayed or they fasted or they donated or they did recited Quran, or, and every single good deed they will do, huh? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will take the same amount. And this is, no one will have hasanat in the day of judgment like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ever. No one, no prophet, no messenger, no righteous people, no one will have hasanat like him. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him with the al-maqam al-mahmud and al-shafa'ah, intercession. He will be able to intercede for his followers, and even to intercede for the day of judgment to start. Subhanallah. He will intercede for the gate of paradise to be opened. Why? Because he has a big number of hasanat, of good deeds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is when you choose to be the first, you will have the same way to earn the good deeds as much as you can. Don't look at the good deeds you will do by yourself, which is great to look at the number of good deeds that you will do by yourself. But be smarter to have the multiple good deeds as much as you can. For example, today when you came to the halaqa, why you did not call your friends? Remind them, help them out to come. And you will take your reward. You will take the reward of the people that you was a reason to bring them to learn about the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is, you know, the way that we need to deal with. To have as much as you can different ways to increase your good deeds as much as you can. When you go to the masjid to pray with the jama'ah, take somebody with you. Remind your friend as if you will go to have some coffee here or there. No, we're going to go to pray at the masjid. MashaAllah, we're going to go to this masjid or that masjid. It's okay. But the idea, keep in mind all the time, you have a good chance to increase your good deeds as much as you can. This is the point what we need to learn. You know, this is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Man da'a ila huda, kana lahu min al-ajri mithla man 'amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah." Whosoever called out other people to guide them or to help them out to deal with the guidance, he or she will have the same reward of those people they will follow his guidance. The same idea, وَمَنْ دَعَى إِلَى ضَلَالَهِ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْوِزْرِ مِثْلَ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامِ. Whosoever helps others to misguide them or to help them to go astray, he or she will have the same sins of those people that they go astray. And now you understand how you will deal with the situation, because our life is very short. If we count, if we rely only about the time that we will live, and we're going to pray the regular prayer, we're going to fast the Ramadan or a few days during the year, and it will not be enough, you know, to enter into paradise. And this is why, try to do something. It will remain after we died. You know, people will help. People will seek help from the knowledge that you left for them, from any kind of good deeds that you will remind them even after you passed away. And this is why a lot of scholars, they used to, you know, publish their books and their knowledge into the books for people to. When we mention Imam Bukhari today, subhanAllah, everybody knows him. When we mention Imam Muslim, when we mention, you know, any scholar, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, and this is, until today, they got their rewards, even they stay in their graves. Yeah. And this is the point. Just to move on, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the time is flying, I know we need to keep it short. inshallah, within 5 minutes max, we will finish. Just this is the examples that helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca. But we should not forget another unique example, and he was young. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him to Medina before migration, just 1 year. Who knows that companion? Who? Sayyidina? Huh? Sent to Medina the first ambassador in Islam. Huh? أول سفير في الإسلام. سيدنا مين؟ يبدأ بحرف مصعب. I know. سيدنا مصعب ابن عمير. سيدنا مصعب, he was young. سبحان الله. And رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم choose him to go to Medina before هجرة 1 year. How long you been here in America? Now be honest. You know, some of us was born here, was raised here, and he left here. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Mus'ab stay 1 single year before Hijrah. And there is no a single house in Medina has no one of Muslims. All the houses, it might have one person or two person or the entire family, they become a Muslims because of who? Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umayr, the first ambassador of Islam, awwal safir fil Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose him. He was young. Subhanallah. And after the hijrah, just a few years, he passed away in the battle of Uhud. When he passed away, they had a piece of garment. When they cover up his head, they uncover his lower level of his body. And he was spoiled boy in Mecca. When he passed in any street in Mecca, people recognize his smell. They said, Mus'ab passed few minutes ago, because he has the most expensive perfume. And he was a spoiled boy in Mecca. He was very rich, and he left everything behind him, and he went to Medina as ambassador for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach people Islam, to train them how they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina 1 year after, pretty much every single house of Medina heard about Islam. You might have one member of the family, or two, or 10, or the entire family. Subhanallah, it was amazing job that Sayyidina Mus'ab did. And how many people that we help them out to become a Muslim? How many friends that you call them about Islam? How many neighbors that you show with them the beauty of Islam? How many friends for sisters or brothers? And this is just, we really need to rethink again about our mission and our goal in this life. Our life is very short, but we need to magnify our good deeds as much as we can, just to choose a unique ways to make a lot of good deeds in very short time. This is our mission in this life, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To just conclude our speech today, you know, our youth today really have three different kind of youth. The first kind of youth, which is, you know, the righteous youth, al-salihin. They need some scholars to help them out to stay firm in their missions and their religion. You know, because they might go astray if they follow their own desires. They are righteous, they are pious, they are good, but they need some guidance. And this is the first kind, and this is the best type of youth that we have, because they try to stay away from any bad desires. And those kind of youth that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified for them, that they will be one kind of the seven different kind of people will be in the shade of Allah in the day of judgment. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Seven kind of people, they will be in the shade of Allah in the day of judgment. One of them, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. A young man, a young woman, you know, they raised themselves in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They hate to disobey Allah. And this is really unique condition, because usually the young men and women, they love to do something wrong. They love to try something wrong. And they might wake up later on. But most of them, they love to, you know, let us try. This is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَعْجَبْ مِنَ الشَّابِ الَّذِي لَيْسَتْ لَهُ كَبْوَةِ. Who knows the translation for this hadith? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَعْجَبْ مِنَ الشَّابِ. الشاب could be a boy or a girl. مِنَ الشَّابِ الَّذِي لَيْسَتْ لَهُ كَبْوَةِ. Allah will be amazed with the young man or young woman. They did not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever. It's, you know, something unique. And this is the first kind, really, we really need to make ourselves amongst those good young men and women, you know, to be righteous and to be kind. But you have to look where you're going to put your foot. You have to have a clear direction when you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not go in the stream left or in stream right. We have to be wasat. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا, to be in the middle of the road, to be in the safe side. The second kind, quickly, which is, you know, شباب في غفلة شيطانية. They forget their missions, and the Satan will guide them. And those kind of youth, they need somebody to wake them up. You know, they drinking, they having adultery, they having, you know, just, they didn't pray, they didn't care about their religion, and they need somebody to shake them up. Wake up, brother, sisters. Our life is short. You know, our opportunity here, it's few. We need to really hurry up and do something. And whatever you did in the past wrongly, it's okay. As long as you wake up early and you repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third kind, which is, you know, the worst kind of youth, which is the atheist, or the one who, you know, because the first kind, they are good, but they might go astray for a while and come back, and they need somebody to guide them. The second kind, you know, they don't care about the religion. They live their life as a non-Muslims. That's it. You know, similar with the non-believers. But the third kind, which is the worst one, because they will be a leaders to mislead others. Like atheists today, you know, they will defend their way of life. They said, just we came, you know, from the wombs of our moms, and we will return back to the graves, and there is no resurrection, there is no account, there is no questions about our life. And, you know, even when the person disobey Allah and he hide himself or hide herself, they have a chance to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the worst case, when they disobey Allah azza wa jal, and they defend, you know, the idea that they hold it in their heart or their mind. This is the problem. You know, when we do something wrong between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be much easier for us to go back to Allah azza wa jal, and Allah will accept our repentance. But when we, you know, take a lead and raise the flag, oh, if anyone would like to do adultery, we're gonna make it easy. Just contact me. Oh, if anyone really would like to go without God, you know, just enjoy your life. And they will help people out to mislead them. And this is the worst case and the worst kind of youth and na'udhu billahi min al-khudlan, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us out to stay firm in our religion and to make all of us as a pious, as a righteous, and to worship him and to fear him and to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ameen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم جزاكم الله خيرا كل عام أنتم بخير تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. This is a new year, a new Hijri year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a lot of chances to receive the new year of Hijra inshallah, and to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can. اللهم أمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.